you're going on the trip now, it's going to be rough.
Hold on!
If you hear something in the woods, you tell me. If you hear something in the water, you tell me. But under no circumstance are you allowed to take off your blindfold.
Hello. Hello. Welcome back to Speak of the Devil again.
What's going on?
I'm your host, Aidan O'Connell. Hayden Ravelli's here.
Yep.
Colin Kelly.
I'm also here.
We're in a new recording space today. We're outside the band room in this tiny little closet. It's
really
pretty fun.
Just bring that up. Yeah.
Yeah. Soundproof though, which
there's
is
a
cool.
Piano in here.
If you do hear band in the background too, that's why.
Oh, that's yes. Yeah. That's gonna be a little bit of a just
yeah.
Let that slide.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. You won't hear much of that.
Can you hear it, Aiden?
Yeah, I'm hearing it right now in the headphones.
He has the headphones on right now.
So. Bird Box. Is
yeah, I'm just gonna jump right into it. Bird Box.
It came out on December 21st, 2018 on Netflix. It's a Netflix original movie. It's rated R for violence, bloody images, language, and brief sexuality. So,
you
watch
kids,
this if you don't like
kids
those things.
Watch this
yeah.
And
it is what it is.
We'll Speak of the Devil first. It's the first R-rated movie to be discussed on Speak of the Devil. So.
I do have to say, before this starts, though, if you don't like scary movies, because I hate scary movies, this wasn't bad at all. It wasn't.
I'm not a scary movie person.
Yeah,
either.
It was like more of a psychological thing than
I'm
like scary.
I'm the only person who just doesn't care about scary movies then, because like it does not bother me at all.
Oh, I hate them.
I don't know why, but I think it's just like the production itself. Like I can imagine somebody behind the camera. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah, it's 1 hour and 24 minutes. Or wait, it's 124 minutes. Sorry. And then as far as reviews go, it got a 65% on Rotten Tomatoes, and AV Club gave it a C. The film had a budget of $19.8 million, which is pretty low, right? Like, that's...
It's also a Netflix film.
It is Netflix original, and it's a horror movie, which tend to have lower budgets.
For sure.
And when you think about that, too, you think of promotion and stuff, which they really don't need as much. Of course, the film doesn't cost any money to watch. It's available with a greater Netflix subscription.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix's revenue model makes the film much different than like your average Hollywood production. Just a little...
Are we talking about Netflix for a little bit?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we
just,
yeah,
so
for
just,
sure.
Before
just
we get some facts on Netflix and their subscriptions and how you pay for things. A Netflix subscription starts at $8 and goes up to $14 for additional bells and whistles.
Sponsor
Netflix,
us.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
If Netflix did sponsor
us. Oh, my Lord.
Currently, Netflix has 137 million subscribers worldwide. And more than a third of them are in the United States. I think 57 million or something.
Yeah, it's crazy how much money they make.
Yeah. And then given that the movie was not released in theaters, there's no box score for us to talk about.
Yeah.
Box office. However, Netflix did record that the film was streamed 45 million times in its opening week.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
I think for us, like, the film came out while we were on Christmas break. Or actually, right before we went on Christmas break. So it gave, and I think everybody, all of the United States and other countries too. So it gave everybody, like, an opportunity to see it. Because maybe you're not so busy over Christmas break. I don't know.
Right. It was a pretty good time interval there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely a smart release. And then I want to talk about Netflix a lot, because this is our first Netflix original movie also that we're talking about. And it's like, it's a pretty big deal for Netflix to have this movie released.
It was super popular.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a few with Adam Sandler in the past. A lot of really, like, popular actors. And Sandra Bullock, obviously, she's huge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is, like, another big one for them.
Yeah, definitely. Netflix... They're trying to add more original content to their catalog, and they're making more original content to compete with film studios that are creating their own streaming platforms. So I think a really important thing to talk about is Disney Plus, which is the streaming service that Disney will be releasing, like starting like I think fall 2019. They announced this last year, but it's been in the works for a while, and I think there are a lot of different TV channels and companies that have these streaming services now, but obviously Disney that's a huge deal.
Yeah, they're getting a lot of attention.
Especially when you think that this streaming service will include movies and TV shows from Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, National Geographic, and ESPN.
Wow. I mean, Netflix started off as like, what was it? They were like a...
They sent discs out.
Yeah, like they were like an actual store.
Yeah,
that you went and
similar to Redbox.
It's sort of like Blockbuster era.
Yeah.
And actually, I read something about how Blockbuster had the opportunity to buy Netflix, and they passed up on it.
Oh, really?
Which
Big
is
mistake.
Like, in retrospect,
yeah,
I think Blockbuster is like out of business. I think their last location closed last year.
All the movie stores are gone.
Blockbuster recently.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's be real here.
What's crazy is Friends, though.
Yeah.
Oh, the whole Friends situation.
Yeah, they bought Friends for $100 million.
So, yeah, we can talk about that, too. So at the beginning of December, Netflix announced that the classic series Friends would be leaving Netflix in January. However, like, after fans of the series complained, Netflix forked over somewhere between $80 and $100 million to keep the show just for 2019.
It's crazy.
And it was, like, so quick, too.
Yeah.
Like, people found out
backlash.
About the news on, like, Twitter, and then within, like, 2 days, they're like, oh, sorry, guys, we're bringing it back.
Yeah, I read something that was, like, even if 1% of the people, like, canceled their subscriptions, like, they would lose so much more money than $100 million. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, a better investment for them to actually just buy for another year.
Friends is huge. I still haven't seen it myself. I'm just going to be...
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, I've heard very good things about it, but, like, yeah, that makes sense. Friends, how many seasons are there?
10.
It's such a successful show. It's lived on for so long.
And so I think that show... whole situation with Friends shows a fundamental issue for Netflix, where they're creating all these Netflix originals that I'll get to in a minute, that are becoming super popular, but then if Netflix even thought about taking a show like The Office off of their platform, there'd be riots in the streets.
They don't have independent fans. They have, like...
Yeah, they have fans of TV shows that come to their service.
Yeah.
Because those TV shows are there. And granted, some of the time, the fans of the TV shows are fans of Netflix original shows. And so then you kind of become a Netflix fan, because obviously that content's never going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about some popular Netflix shows. I think it's important to note that Netflix has been, like, very successful with their TV shows, with their original TV series, but not so much with their movies.
Yeah.
And so some of their most popular ones, I think everybody's heard of, Stranger Things.
I literally just saw Stranger Things.
Yeah, Stranger Things, great.
A week and a half ago.
Really?
It was... Okay. We don't want to get too far away.
Yeah, we're like so far off.
I just want to say, season one was fantastic, and season two was like pretty good.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty good.
And season three is coming out this summer.
Yeah, I'm totally looking forward to that.
Yeah, so Orange is the New Black, Black Mirror, 13 Reasons Why, Fuller House, and the list goes on.
Ozark and Maniac too, right?
Maniac. Maniac looks good.
Maniac is with Jonah Hill, it's great.
My personal favorite Netflix original show is Master of None, which gets Aiden's unrelated official recommendation of the episode.
I love Ozark. Ozark's great.
My parents watch
Jason
that.
Bateman, yeah.
Yeah, he's great on Arrested Development. And then some original movies. They really haven't been as popular. Some of the more popular ones from 2018 have been To All the Boys I've Loved Before, Black Mirror, Bandersnatch, and, of course, Bird Box.
Yes.
And although those movies may sound familiar, there are dozens that they released in 2018 alone that I don't think anybody has ever heard of. Some of them include Apostle, A Midnight Dance, and Candy Jar.
They do a lot of comedy specials, too.
And so, to show you that nobody's ever heard of those movies, one of them is actually made up.
Oh.
Yeah, A Midnight Dance is not a movie.
You just make that up just to,
yeah, I did, just to
call
mess.
Us out? Okay,
yeah,
see how
so,
it is. People talk about a movie podcast. I don't even know all the movies that you just listed there. I didn't hear it.
Doesn't matter.
I don't care.
Yeah, and then Netflix is spending a ton of money on original content, which I think is important to note. Most of Netflix's like money is spent on original content now. 85% of new spending. It goes towards original content. Which I feel like might be deceiving.
Yeah.
Because it says the statistic is new spending. And that doesn't account for maybe deals that they already have with other companies that are already on their platform.
Mm-hmm.
But it shows that in the future they're looking to really drive home the original content. And so in 2018, Netflix spent $8 billion on original content, or not original content, on all of deals, like leasing and making original content, and $7 billion of that, so seven-eighths-ish, was all original content. So, I think we should start talking about
Netflix. Yeah, we probably should.
Yeah.
I had a lot to say on Netflix, but I think...
it's important to give a little bit of background, too.
I think we covered all
of it. So, what do you guys want to start off with the ratings then again?
First, can we talk about the book?
Yeah, there was off a book. I have a lot of miscommunication with this book, because I heard somewhere that, and I was just going to say it, there was a different ending I heard, but then when I went on Wikipedia, it was the same ending. So, I don't know, I don't know about you guys, but I don't know anything about how the book went.
I don't.
Oh yeah, no. So, I mean, I know there is a book, but
yeah,
much I about heard it. That.
Oh yeah.
The initially, left. When they were writing the script for this film, they were gonna go with a much different ending, but nobody knows what that.
Oh,
it's
like
was
a J.K.
yet.
Rowling kind
I
of
thought
thing.
The ending was not great. We can Which get is, into that.
Oh
later,
yeah,
but.
Same.
Yeah, yeah, but I think that's a struggle with horror movies in general.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Which I was thinking about while I was watching it is it's like. The point of a horror movie and like this is to make like the watcher like abandon all hope of like the situation, like, oh, all is lost, like you can't see anymore, like there's no world left. And so then for them to get a happy ending, they need there to be like hope back, you know, like they need the viewer to believe that there is some semblance of hope and everything will be all right. And you can't really do both. And so I think a lot of, like, horror movies and, like, apocalypse movies, like, have, like, weak endings.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you can't go either way. It's just horror movies tend to, you can't have a good ending, and not make it cheesy, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It was just kind of anticlimactic for me.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be, like,
I had a little bit of hope.
Like, a horror movie with a pretty good ending, I think, was Get Out.
Yeah.
I liked the ending to that movie.
I haven't seen that.
It was decent.
So, yeah. But I also heard that Jordan Peele almost went with a significantly different ending.
I really
like... was a lot darker. And I think that's, like, something that writers of horror movies always struggle with. Do I go with the super dark ending or, like, the family-friendly ending?
Yeah, exactly. I really like when horror movies, even if they don't turn out to be fantastic, when they decide to explore, like, really interesting concepts. Mm-hmm. What was the... Unfriended.
Yeah,
It wasn't a good movie.
I saw that commercial.
But it was like it wasn't a good movie. But I really liked the concept of like the entire movie was like in the voice call or whatever.
Yeah, and then that so that's a horror movie, but that was actually somebody made like sort of like a movie like that this year that was like highly critically acclaimed and like.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking
like
about.
Like an indie darling kind of movie.
I can't remember
it was
what it's called.
Searching.
Oh, that's what it's called.
Yeah, and it's about this like father that like loses
his
daughter
or something.
Like goes missing and he has to go through like her computer to learn stuff.
Yeah, that actually looked really interesting.
Like, Taken with Liam Neeson.
Do you want to get into ratings?
Yeah, let's go into ratings.
Where did I put my?
Who wants to start?
Yeah. I need to find my notebook. Where did I put it? I have my notes in there for my scores. I didn't have them memorized.
Oh, wait, one more thing about the book. Hold on.
Right here.
So,
it's up here.
One thing is I read a review about the book. The book was given a B on AV Club. And, like, the book was said to effectively create and maintain a mood. However, the characters were underdeveloped.
Mm.
And AV Club stated that the largest problem with the book was that the author, Josh Malerman, overextended and, like, overlooked fundamental aspects of storytelling. And does this review sound anything like the movie to you guys?
Yeah, I think it reflected it fairly well. I mean, do you want me to just jump right into what I...
Yeah.
Okay.
I should go first.
So, just as a refresher, we got production, casting, and storytelling as our three, like, pillars here, and then each of them will be a score out of 10, and then you add them all up, that's our final score. For production, I know this sounds a little weird, but I gave it... I have, like, reasoning for this. I gave it a 9 out of 10, because it was really good for what it was, or what it was supposed to be. You know what I mean? I think horror movies, they tend to not have...
great production value.
Yeah, they don't usually have great production value, and there's not much you need for it either. Mm-hmm. Oh, depends really on the movie, but for what it was, I think it was actually pretty good for the production. I don't know, there's not much I really want to say there, just the production was really good for what it was.
Definitely.
Casting, 8 out of 10. So, like... okay, so I've had, there's a lot of really good actors, and then, like, there were definitely a select few where I thought they were not very good actors. And, I mean, including the kids, and that makes sense, because they're child actors. You can't really...
Yeah. Am I the only one that didn't like the blonde pregnant lady?
I was exactly... That was the next person.
Yeah, she was kind of interesting.
That was the next person I was going for. She was not a good character. Olympia?
Yeah.
I don't know what the actress's name is.
Yeah, I did not like her.
We really should have...
I didn't write her down because I didn't think she was important.
She wasn't a very important character. And, like, you know, Mallory was, like, at the beginning she hated her, and then at the end of the movie she names the kid boy, you know, they were named boy and girl, but then she names her Olympia after, like, the sweetest person she's ever met.
Yeah.
And I just, like, got a mental flashback to her, like, screaming at her before.
Yeah.
It's like it did not, like, correlate. But most of the characters were actually really good.
Oh, yeah.
Who was I going to... God. Well, I mean, yeah, Sandra Bullock was amazing.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
My favorite character was the insane guy that got into
Gary?
The house. Yeah, Gary.
I knew it the whole time. I was like, he's bad. He's bad. They let him know.
Yeah,
he's
just
bad.
Like, we already...
That was crazy. That whole scene was crazy.
Self-fulfilling prophecy right there.
Like, once we get
see
into,
it in
like,
his eyes.
I think once we get into, like, favorite scenes later, that might be a contender.
I just want to say my favorite part was, like, he was... was blindfolded. I'm sorry, this is another thing about it. I couldn't remember a lot of their names, so I think that...
Can you describe?
The old guy.
I like
him.
Yeah, he was really cool.
He was a good character.
Wait, I have this.
He was blindfolded, and he was trying to shoot Gary.
Douglas.
And Gary was jumping back and forth. And I don't know why I was laughing so hard when I was watching it. It was so stupid. But, okay, so this is where it falls apart for me. Storytelling. I was... heavily debating 6 out of 10 to 7 out of 10, but I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 because it's still, like, the theme of motherhood, that's what it was.
Right,
they had the theme of motherhood. Yeah. It felt really inconsistent with me. I mean, like, there was, like, two different storylines going at the same time.
Yeah.
Kind of, but they, like, interconnected at the end.
I thought
it was really... like, the earlier, where it took place earlier, I thought it really just didn't correlate with the whole motherhood
thing. When she
was
in, like, the house?
Yeah, it just didn't, I don't know how to describe it. It just really didn't connect
with
me.
Well, it's
like,
they have this idea throughout the movie that, you know, it's about, like, Mallory becoming a mother, and, like, her journey through motherhood, right?
Right.
But then it's like, all right, but you didn't even name your kids for
exactly.
the whole movie. Like, instead of just naming your kids when it's safe at the end, name them when, like, an important moment happens where you become, like, more of their mother. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I thought, like, certain characters just sometimes they were kind of inconsistent with their morals or whatever. Like, even
Mallory. Like, they were hard to understand what was, like, prompting them to do certain actions.
We didn't even talk about the part that Machine Gun Kelly was in it.
Yeah.
That was such a random addition.
I was watching the movie and then I'm like, wait,
Machine Gun Kelly?
I was like, what?
That was
so weird, too.
Yeah. I guess that character kind of fit him. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, there's one scene I was like, well, all right.
Yeah.
We won't talk about that
we'll
one.
Get that, that rated R rating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So my score, I don't even know what it was counting up to, but I got an 80% for it. So, anyone want to go next?
I'll go next.
All right.
So, for production, I gave the movie an 8 out of 10. I thought it was pretty good, the production. It was like, if I'm going to give it a 9 or a 10, it needs to be seriously impressive.
Yeah.
like, and that's how I felt about Spider-Man, is the production in that movie was seriously impressive. And but this was still really good. I think one of the best things about it, and it kind of felt like, I don't know about you guys, but it felt like something that Netflix made. Like,
yeah.
It just, like, kind of looked like other Netflix films.
I could tell.
Yeah.
There was something about it.
Yeah.
Just, like, the vibe.
Like
film.
Wasn't film worthy.
Like, one of, like, the things that Netflix series that I watched this year, like, a Netflix original, was the Lost in Space reboot. And, like, even though they're about completely different things, like, Lost in Space obviously takes place in space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the film, just, like, the cinematography felt very similar.
Yeah, they definitely have a, like, distinct
style
to their work.
Yeah. And then, but I thought what was really good was how the production set the mood for the film.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think
they did that very well.
And the music.
For the most part, the tone was very consistent.
Yeah, I thought...
Anamorphic lens flares.
That was, like, probably one of the better aspects of the film. And then as far as storytelling goes, I gave it a 7 out of 10. But, like, after what Khan said, like, I've thought about a 6 out of 10. Just because I really... Maybe it's just because it's a horror movie and it's hard to tell, like, coherent stories in,
yeah.
like, a post-apocalyptic world. But, like, I just didn't really like it that much. I think non-linear storytelling is really... It's meant to... contribute to the way the story is being told.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, like, a really good example of that is, like, Inception. Like, the non-linear storytelling, I don't even know if you could really call it that, but I guess it is. It's super interesting, like, with the different levels of dreams. And, like, I think that's really great. And I think if you're talking about non-linear storytelling, you also need to mention Pulp Fiction.
Because
I think it's kind of like the movie
yeah.
that people think about. And I think that is also really well done. But in this, it just felt like they were using it as a device to, like, keep the movie interesting. Like,
yeah,
switching between the two different things. So, like, once you get bored of Mallory on the river, you get to
see
somebody get murdered.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even really talk about the... Yeah.
And then when you get bored of the people in the house, you go back to the river.
Right.
And it's like,
I didn't really like that either.
It was just, like, kind of a pain.
It felt kind of forced, too.
Yeah, definitely. Like it could have been just as good of a movie without it.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing with storytelling is that I thought the characters, other than Mallory, were, like, incredibly weak.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just didn't think they were, like, there's nothing, like, interesting about them. And I guess, like, what are you really going to do when you're going to kill all of them?
Exactly.
Like, you know, like, what's the point of developing a character if they're going to die 20 minutes into the movie?
Just as, like, a clarification, casting is different from characters.
Yeah, casting is number 3.
Because that's what I was saying, like, I thought the casting, for the most part, was really good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Aiden's totally right on, like, other than Mallory, the characters themselves were not.
Super weak. I think the other one that you can kind of add is Tom. Like, he's the only other character that kind of gets some development and kind of has,
yeah.
like, a personality.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, other than that, like,
yeah.
everybody's just super bland.
I thought Greg was okay, the old guy. I think
that's
Greg.
Douglas. Greg was the Asian guy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was another big thing for me.
John Malkovich is the actor.
I just, like,
Douglas.
Could not keep up with a lot of their names.
Yeah.
I really just...
Well, it's a lot
keep
of,
my interest
it's
there.
A lot of information that they, like, introduce, and then it just, like, doesn't really contribute for the rest of the movie. Like knowing the characters' names, like, that's how bad the characters are.
I know.
Is that knowing the character's name doesn't matter to, like,
it doesn't,
the
yeah.
movie. And then for casting, I gave it a 10 out of 10. I thought that, like, the characters that were important were cast well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought Sandra Bullock was, like, a fantastic choice. And I also thought that John Malkovich was, like, very interesting in this role. But then, like, some of the less important characters, like, served their role well, but didn't need to be amazing and didn't really need to
stand
take
up.
Away from, like, the spotlight.
Yeah.
So that makes my overall rating a 25 out of 30. which gives it an 83% and a grade of a B.
So the mine's probably like 24 out of 30. Cause I didn't add up the numbers, I just did it.
All right, so for mine, I'm going to give production a 9 because I thought what it was for, it was like really perfect. And right. like as you guys said, they really did set the mood, and the like all the cinematography kind of was like horror theme, but it also like was normal Netflix, you know, wide shots kind of stuff. And then for cast, I gave that an 8. I thought, as Aiden said, the main characters were very cast very well. Sandra Bullock played obviously great. John Malkovich was great. You know, Tom Rhodes.
Yeah.
Trevante Rhodes.
Oh, Tom is his character name.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he did really well too, because he stayed around obviously the longest, other than her.
Yeah.
In the end. And then for the story, I'm giving that a 6 because like the whole movie is good, but the whole juxtaposition thing back and forth with the river, that was kind of stupid.
Yeah, it felt weird.
Yeah, it was just a waste of time in the movie, and the ending was. Can we talk about the ending now?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
are we,
yeah
it was just kind of
it.
A letdown. Like,
yeah, I did not like the ending.
Super disappointing.
Yeah,
it's like it's kind of clever. That,
yeah,
that blind people would be able to survive this, but it's also like. Like, it didn't really, like, contribute anything to the story. It's like, all right, she made it. Like,
it was out of nowhere. It was just like...
Yeah.
I mean, it built up the whole blind situation.
Just, yeah, the radio back and forth, too. You know.
It felt like this... And I think this is less about the movie and more about the author, Josh Malerman, that, like, the idea for the story was... Like, the idea for, like, the apocalypse was created before the idea for the story. Mm. Where it's just, like, somebody's in, like... some boardroom somewhere, and they're like, what if there's a book where you can't see anything because you'll die if you see stuff?
Yeah, like, it was a really like weak idea that they took very far, I feel like, so.
And it's like, and then they're trying to make it this, like, allegory for motherhood to, like, make it kind of more... seem more impressive, but it's like
there's a lot of themes.
Well, they got out of I feel like they just got themselves out of showing what actually like it was, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it just like a wind thing? Like what?
You know, when it started off, I like was actually really interested in it, and then as the movie progressed, I slowly started to be like,
I feel the exact same way.
Okay.
All right, so that gives my rating a 23 out of 30, which is a 76. So, along with Collins.
Yeah, I think, the average is mine, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, because mine is one above and yours is one less.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His is so one less, so we have 80% overall. Do you think that this movie is deserving of that?
I think it reflects that. I think
it's loud.
If I could go back and change my rating after, like, hearing our conversation, I'd probably give it an 80 instead of an 83. So that would, like, bring down our rating a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But... Like, yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's worth watching, but...
It's, like, don't be stunned by anything.
Yeah. It's fun. It's also fun... I should move closer to the microphone.
Scooch in.
Yeah, it's also fun watching a movie that everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
Which I think contributes a lot to it.
Yeah. We all watched it separate,
like,
too.
It's not like Netflix did it on purpose. But it's, like, I think that shows the power of, like, a streaming platform.
Yeah.
For one, and then, like, the power of Twitter.
Well, this is, like, one of the first movies that's been, like, fully, like, trending that Netflix released in, like, a while. Like,
really interesting.
Everyone's talking about
All the Boys I've Loved Before is, like, kind of, like, I think the first one that they really had, which was also this year.
Yeah.
It's like a teen, like, girl movie. Like,
yeah, I didn't watch
I think,
that.
Like,
but...
I didn't watch it either, but...
That's the thing about
both
horror.
Both my sisters did. So.
Horror movies tend to, like, even though... Everybody, you know, a lot of people are, like, afraid of horror movies. It's not, like, aimed for any specific audience, really.
Yeah.
No.
Other than, like,
well, I didn't even know it was a horror movie until after I watched it.
Yeah, honestly, it didn't
It really...
Cross my mind.
I think when you have a horror movie that's also a good movie, or, like...
Yeah, they definitely hit that
relatively,
one.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. It's, like, it's different. Like, because I think so many horror movies are just kind of looking for, like, trying to give you, like, the cheap thrills... And it's like when you actually create like a cohesive movie, it doesn't feel like you're just watching a movie where you're supposed to get scared out of your seat.
Mm-hmm.
So
I kind of liked it more. Like, yeah, horror movies, if they just the whole point is to jump scare you, it's never good. Like, they actually managed to pull off even though it didn't really come off as like a horror movie to me.
Yeah,
they still managed to pull that off pretty well. Yeah. Like, I feel it's like a good story.
Was there, like, one jump scare in this movie that, like, just, like, I flipped out when I saw it? I can't remember, but I feel like there was something.
I forget. Chris told me. Chris is somebody who will probably be on this podcast at some point. He told us that, he told me that... Who did he tell me he was watching it with? Whoever it was, they jumped when, like, old lady, what's her name, hit the guy in the back of the head with the pot or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, when Gary tries to make everybody look.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Apparently somebody jumped there.
Oh, like, really?
I didn't jump at all during the
movie. Yeah,
no. The only part where I was like, ooh, it was when the guy was, like, trying to throw them off the boat and, like, she had the machete and was, like, hacking at him.
Oh yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't talk about that because
no, we could talk
fine.
About it.
Yeah.
That's the part I wanted to talk about. Yeah. The part on the river with the guy on the river.
They're
like, oh, come here, you gotta see it.
Oh god, I'm watching this.
Oh yeah, and that's something that I also didn't like about the storytelling. Is it's like I know that I shouldn't be asking this, but why can crazy people like survive?
Yeah, there's no explanation. There's
no explanation. It's really just like Deus Ex Machina. Like, it's just like, oh, I want there to be human bad guys in this movie, so here you go.
Well, I mean, they did try to explain it, but it was like, it wasn't, I don't know how to describe it. They just didn't do a good job.
Yeah, they were always like, they were like, oh, yeah, these people, like, want us to see, like, why do they want that? They never explained it, really.
Yeah, it just, like, but then popped up out of nowhere.
Then it's like, that spawns, like, a bunch of questions where it's like, oh, what is this wind? Why is this happening? And
yeah.
It's like, and then it's just, like, analyzing too much. So, like, I hate asking questions like that, but that was the one where I was like...
Hey, put on a sweatshirt, you'll be fine.
Yeah. World building is important in a movie. You don't, like, you don't want to be sitting there and asking questions. You want to be sitting there and waiting for the next thing to happen.
And then Colin talked about the hatchet and...
Oh yeah,
the machete.
Yeah,
the machete.
Yeah, the machete. She pulled out a machete. Also, okay, how did the kids survive in the rapids first of all, and how did the birds survive in the rapids?
Oh, when they fell out of the boat.
Yeah, when they fell out of the boat.
No idea.
That's like.
Oh yeah, I was thinking that too.
They should all be dead.
Like the boxes float.
Any sense. Like, these kids that have been secluded inside of a house for like they're like 4 years old or something.
Yeah.
They probably never learned how to swim. They've never seen the outside world.
Yeah, they definitely don't know how to swim.
Yeah, they just go, they sink like rocks.
Yeah, my moment was when Greg is tied to the chair looking at the security cameras.
Yes, he told me this.
Oh, yeah.
And he shakes his chair and tips it over and smashes his head into like, I don't even know what it was.
Yeah, it was like at the edge of a table or something. It was
like... Why that?
Yeah,
I like the part where they're in the supermarket and then the what's his name? Hold on, I'm looking up his name.
Rel,
that guy got drunk.
Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie. He ran and then hit the other guy in the door. And then like 2 minutes later, just blood everywhere.
It wasn't even 2 minutes.
I was like, are you serious? Come on.
I know. And what was with
It was just like that's like.
Yeah, it's kind of mad they killed him off too because he was a funny character.
He was funny, yeah.
Well, what was with Tom like? Always wanting to open the door for somebody else, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
That happened like four
times.
That
movie would have been like there would have been no movie if just like they didn't open the door because everybody would survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm glad he did it, but like this guy is just like, I'm gonna open the door every time.
So we talked briefly about how like this movie's popularity, or like having everybody being able to see this movie like added to its success. Which brings me to a new segment that I'm introducing called Tweet Check.
Can we get like a sound, like an audio clip of that or something? Like some sick sound.
Colin, that's up
music.
To you.
We got a piano right here. That's it.
Tweet Check.
Tweet Check.
So basically, you know, get it like heat check, but on Twitter. So.
Yeah, they got it.
Bird Box has really like taken Twitter by storm. It's like I was on Christmas break when I saw this, and it's like I'm not going to school, so like the way I see people react to this, other than in person, which is like only a few people, is on Twitter. And so like I'd say over like Christmas break, like the two like just like internet like nuggets, like just like weird things, was the like Bird Box being super popular, and then like the AirPod memes.
Why did the AirPod memes come back? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Out of nowhere.
Like they've been out for like 2 years, and then they just took like Twitter over for a solid week. And so I want to talk about just like some Twitter moments.
Okay.
That involved Bird Box.
Any of the actors or actresses too? I'm just curious.
I don't think so. But like, so basically, here's one. It's a tweet from Kim Kardashian on January 1st. She goes, "Watching Bird Box, I really like it. Who has seen it?" And like, she got flamed for saying this because like, Kim, it's been out for like almost 2 weeks. Like, come on, girl. Like, really? And like, she, like, so many people like were in like her mentions and stuff because like, everybody's seen the movie, Kim. Where have you been?
So did you guys see any funny memes from that too? Like, I saw one, it's like, yeah, when mom says do the dishes, and it's Sandra Bullock just sitting there like with the blindfold.
Those are super funny. And then
they're great.
One of the like funniest things too was that like this whole like section of Twitter like just learned who Sandra Bullock is now.
Yeah.
Like they like they first knew her as the lady from Bird Box.
The lady from Blindside too.
And then they're like, wait a second, Sandra Bullock is this like incredibly like popular and famous actress? I didn't know she was a person. And it's like ridiculous.
And so, Bird Box of all movies too.
Like I found this tweet that I thought was funny that said, "How the F did y'all discover Sandra Bullock this month? That's disrespectful." And it's just like I saw like a bunch of like Sandra Bullock like appreciation posts and stuff.
I'm like, it's too late for that.
Yeah, it's like she's been like a person forever.
Yeah.
And then finally,
at least she's getting it.
One of the funnier things is Bird Box has inspired the Bird Box Challenge.
Oh yeah.
Which is it's just as it sounds. It's putting on a blindfold and trying to do like everyday activities.
I've seen an image. I have not seen.
Yeah, and a so video or Netflix anything. Had to make a statement to discourage people from being in this challenge. This tweet was on January 2nd, and it says, this is from Netflix, it says, "Can't believe I have to say this, but please do not hurt yourselves with this Bird Box challenge. We don't know how this started, and we appreciate the love, but boy and girl have just one wish for 2019, and it is that you do not end up in the hospital due to memes."
Oh my That's so God. Funny. So,
why does that remind me of the Tide Pod situation?
Yeah.
Which was, like, exactly 1 year ago. Yeah. That's what's so funny about it.
Ooh, Tide Pods, yum.
Yeah, so I thought that was really interesting. And then one other thing that I wanted to talk about that I thought, where do I have this written down? It's the story of the producer of this movie, Scott Stuber. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Scott.
Scott Stuber.
So basically,
if he's listening.
Yeah, if you're listening right
yeah,
now,
Scott, give Stuber. It a listen, my man.
Hit me up.
So basically, the screenplay was produced by Eric Heiser.
Some weird last names.
And the script was shoot, that's not what I want to say. Okay, so that was Eric Heiserer. He doesn't matter.
Dude, you got a lot of notes there.
I do. So basically, the film was produced by Scott Stuber. And in 2013, a year before the book was even released, it was optioned by Universal Studios to be made into a movie. And Scott Stuber, the vice chairman of worldwide production at Universal Studios, was set to produce the film. However, the film was never, like, made. And so, in 2017, Stuber joined Netflix to, quote, "lead the development, production, and acquisition of the company's expanding slate of original films," end quote. And so, basically, Stuber brings this movie that he knew, this movie idea that he knew about from Universal, over to Netflix and, like, gets to make it here, and it becomes wildly successful. So
weird.
I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Do you guys want to do favorite scenes?
I feel like we kind of already went over so many scenes.
I brought up the part where I still forget his name, the crazy guy.
Gary.
Gary.
I don't know why I love him as a character.
That might be my favorite scene.
I couldn't tell if I liked when he like showed the drawings of like the demons he saw or whatever.
That was cool.
Because at first I was like, oh man, now I get to see what they're actually seeing. But at the same time, it kind of breaks away from like the whole don't know what we're seeing.
Right.
We don't know what they're
seeing. I think that's a really cool thing that horror movies do sometimes, where it's like you don't get to see the bad guy. And I think like that started with like Jaws.
Oh yeah.
Where it's like not being able to see the terror is scarier. Like, and obviously with Jaws, that was just Spoon. Because of, like, it was made in the 1960s, and they just didn't have
yeah.
practical effects to right. make a shark look real.
But it was just inherently
scary. But it just that. Makes it scarier, because it's like, oh, he just bumped the boat, but I didn't see him.
Well, that's the thing. This movie embraced that, mm-hmm. you know?
And I think, yeah. I think that's great, and I've seen
yeah, it's definitely a good idea.
And then, like, first favorite scene, I'd say just, like, any time for me, anytime Mallory and Tom were on screen together.
Really?
I thought they just had, like, a really great chemistry.
Yeah, they had really
yeah. interesting to watch. I like the initial car crash scene.
Like, oh. Yeah, like the beginning
yeah,
of
Yeah,
everything.
The beginning. I like the initial car crash scene where it kind of flipped over. That was just really cool shots and a lot of, like, cool transitions,
yeah.
too.
Oh, yeah, when the girl, like, walks into the flaming car.
That was crazy.
That was weird.
Yeah.
And
like, that whole, like, section.
Her husband's just, like, staring for, like, 5 minutes straight.
Yeah.
And that's pretty horrifying. I wouldn't
Dude,
want to see
I don't know why they killed Sarah Paulson off, like, so fast, though, because she's a really talented actor, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought she was great in, like, what she did.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
her kind of, like, talking to Mallory at the beginning about becoming a mother and all this stuff, I thought it was, like, really well done. And I thought, like, they could have used her a lot more,
yeah.
even if it was, like, in, like, flashbacks or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But she did a great job.
I agree. Is that all we have to say about this movie?
I think it is.
Because, yeah, this movie, so far, like, out of all the movies we've talked about so far, I actually think this might be the most meh movie, like, or actually The Grinch might have that
yeah.
title. It's hard
yeah.
to say. Spider-Verse had a lot, we had a lot to talk about, but, like,
yeah.
Bird Box, at least it was
Yeah, we talked about Netflix a lot, too.
Yeah, so we did have a lot to talk about there, but just with the
well,
movie
I'd say,
itself.
Like, in the movie itself, there isn't that much, like, the basic, like, premise is... Oh, this apocalyptic event happens, and then every 15 minutes somebody dies.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
the movie's over. And it's
you
like,
know what we should do?
I've seen a
there's
lot of
just not
do
much
that.
Story to
if
that.
If this thing hits, how many likes?
This video?
Like
yeah, this podcast. Sound,
like,
yeah.
likes on SoundCloud? What, we got like 100 listeners on the Spider-Man one?
Yeah.
Wild.
Do we want to say like 25?
Yeah, like 25. If this gets 25, we will upload a Bird Box challenge video.
Yes,
oh, my...
That will go on CRHS News.
Yeah.
I'm totally down to do that.
So,
what 25, we...
25 likes on SoundCloud. And
but what would we do with it?
That we'll figure it out.
Figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure all right. it out.
All right, I'm okay with
a
this.
Like if you
25
see,
likes.
If you want to see us be...
If you want to see the Bird Box Challenge.
Bumbling idiots.
Yeah.
With blindfolds on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right.
We'll
so
see you next time.
Next time, we're thinking mid-90s.
Yes, mid-90s with the
Jonah
Hill direction. Oh, I'm
super excited,
very excited
to watch
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So,
get
we'll
some
catch
live
you
action
later.
Movies.
Yep, we'll see.
All right, adios.
That was crazy that we both just said adios at
yeah.
the exact same time.
That was a little... I'm not cool with that,
what
actually. It's the square button.
But under no circumstance are you allowed to take off your blindfold.
Did you hear that?